November is Family Health History Month, and it's a good time when families start getting together for the holidays, maybe to talk to them about their health history, what we maybe don't know about, things that could be hereditary. And here to help us get some information on that and what best ways to work that, we have with us breast cancer previvor Ashley Dedman and also Susan Manley from Myriad Genetics. And Ashley, I will say, you're the second previvor I've spoken with on interviews of this nature, so I kind of know where this conversation is going. It's a new term that I did not know about, but I'm learning these certain things, and we hope to teach some folks this morning about it. Susan, let's start with you, the importance of really understanding our family history when it comes to our medical things related to that, cancer, so forth.
Yeah, we have a great opportunity coming up with the holiday season to talk more to our family members about our family health history. Every family shares some of the same DNA or genes, and sometimes those genes include inherited medical conditions such as increasing risk for cancer. Things like breast cancer, colon cancer, ovarian cancer, or endometrial cancer can all run in families, and knowing your family's health history may indicate that you are at increased risk too. That just provides an opportunity for you to get more information and opportunities to manage your risk appropriately.
Right. Making good decisions of being known the information that you can get from this new testing. Ashley, if we could talk a little bit about your story, that you became aware of what your family history was like and how that might have impacted your health.
Absolutely. So knowing my family history really helped me to make informed decisions about my health. Breast cancer impacted three generations of women in my family. On my mother's side, my mother had metastatic breast cancer. She unfortunately is no longer with us. Shortly after she passed away, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And Bruce, that really is when I began to be fearful and scared about my own health. I was 21 at the time, and having just lost my mother, now my father, I reached out to my OBGYN and I updated her on my family history because our family history can change at any time. And so we went in and we began to have conversations. She talked to me about genetic counseling and genetic testing, and I got tested. And at the age of 22, I found out that I carry the BRCA2 gene mutation, which means I'm at a higher risk for breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and at an elevated risk for other cancers. And being able to have this information and have this knowledge, it really helped to inform my path forward or my standard of care forward. And so early on, I did about 10 years of increased surveillance consisting of mammograms and breast MRIs. And at the age of 31, I decided to have a preventative double mastectomy to drastically reduce my risk of breast cancer.
So you make those well-informed decisions, as you talked about having the knowledge of what your inherited genes may cause you in the future. You can kind of monitor things that way. Is that really what happens, Susan? You kind of get this information. Some people are thinking, do I really want to know, right? Because then you maybe have to make a decision. Talk a little bit about that and what kind of counseling may go with that once they get information.
Those are great questions. And Ashley's story is such an important one. Knowing your risk can start by knowing what's in your family history. If there are red flags of cancer in members of your family, you can take that information to your doctor and talk to your doctor about the best next steps. Many people choose genetic testing because they feel it empowers those medical decisions that they want to take, but the test is a physician's ordered test. So the first step is knowing your history and talking to your doctor about it. If you qualify for genetic testing and you're interested in knowing more, the test itself is very easy. It's a blood draw or a saliva sample, and we in the lab look for a number of genes that are linked to increased risk for cancer. If the result comes back positive, everybody reacts to that differently and makes different decisions, really, depending upon their health history, their experience with cancer in their family. But genetic counselors and healthcare providers can help everybody make a personalized plan that works for them, which would include increasing screening to try to detect cancer if it is to occur, or things to reduce your risk, such as Ashley did, like having surgeries. But everybody has a different path, and they can use this information to empower their path with their healthcare provider.
we can sort of get information to see, okay, this is some potential that could be there that's a little bit more permanent than just knowing that maybe somebody in your family had this illness. And sometimes, you know, cancers related to genetics could be environmental, other things like that too. But I guess, as you say, it gives us just a chance to know how well you do. How long has something like this been going on, this genetic testing that's been able to be given to the individual to help them understand their health needs?
Genetic testing to more definitively determine cancer risk has been around for about 20 years now, but it's definitely improved those 20 years. It used to be a small number of genes that we could test for and just a few cancer types. Now we can test for dozens of different genes and about a dozen or more different cancer types. So opportunity to know more information by looking at your genes has been around for a while. It's just gotten better over time, as well as the interventions. So as time passes, the way we can manage cancer risk or put cancers or screen for cancers, that improves too. So while it's been a couple of decades, it improves, the technology and the opportunity improves all the time.
Wow. Ashley, how do we bring this up during this time of the year, even any time we talk with some of our relatives? What's the best way to do that? You don't say, hi, here you are, how's your health? Or, you know, do you have this? Here's fill out this form. I feel like I'm at a doctor's office with a clipboard where they want you to check yes or no. What kind of ideas can you offer for us today?
Absolutely. It's a good point, Bruce. Every family dynamic is different, and I think we all know our family best, and conversations can look different. Some families may be very direct and very, you know, they might have the worksheets, and some families, it just might be as simply as listening to conversations. And when you hear something, you know, asking, you know, a little bit more, a little bit deeper into that question. And so there's no right or wrong way. I think you know your family the best. I think that and some of the questions, you know, have to follow up after the holidays. And so I think it's really any time we get together with our family is an opportunity. And this is so important because we're able to take this information back to our doctors and be able to share this information so that we can work with our doctors to come up with the next best step. And I think, too, it's also important because we can share this information with our children and our grandchildren and our other loved ones so that they're able to take this information to their doctors. It's truly the gift, I believe, that keeps on giving. And I believe I really believe that it helps to save the lives of generations to come.
Of course, it is a lot of times a gender. I always think of women having to do this, and I'm speaking with you as a provider of a possible breast cancer with that. There's issues with that. Sometimes for men, they're just stubborn enough not to know, but I guess it's still the people in their family could encourage them if they think this is a necessary test to have.
So I've had experience with that. So my father is a prostate cancer survivor, and he didn't get genetic testing until years later. But what I did, Bruce, was really just kept the conversation going. Every time we would go fishing or we would, you know, hang out at the house, I would just continue just to plant that seed. And I believe what really helped him was understanding that that being a prostate cancer survivor is linked to a BRCA2 mutation, and that he has siblings and that he has nieces and nephews, and that even his own granddaughters could benefit from knowing who I inherited my mutation from. And so since my mother is longer here, that, you know, it was really truly up to my father to make a decision that was best for him. But I think what's really important was I didn't push him to make the decision. I just delivered the knowledge and the information and really just gave him the time to make the decision on his own.
Well, I think the fact that he lost his wife, but knowing his daughter's there and she's doing all she can to survive, has probably given him hope and makes him feel different about the situation.
Absolutely.
Susan, if you could tell us some place to go to get some good information, maybe get started, just even also to help us with the conversation.
Yeah, we have a lot of great information on our website, which is myriad.com/knowyourhistory. We have general information, a discussion guide to help with those discussions. And if you're the kind of family that likes to fill out a form, there's a family tree form that might help facilitate that information.
Sounds good. Myriad.com, Know Your History, a good place to check out some information. Again, we're talking about genetic testing to sort of know what's going on inside your body. You may not know, but the genes can tell a lot. Again, our guest this morning is breast cancer provider Ashley Dedman and also Susan Manley from Myriad Genetics. Thank you both for joining us and getting the word out today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruce.